Andrew Hoggard is adjusting to swapping gumboots for dress shoes.
I prefer gumboots, to be honest.
The new ACT MP has been given a sizeable ministerial workload, so what are his plans?
Rather than just saying you will do this, it's actually provide the incentive.
Kia ora, ko Giles Dexter aho, ane te purongo tōrangapū mō tini wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. Andrew Hoggard might be new to Parliament, but he's certainly not new to New Zealand's screens and airwaves. The Manawatū dairy farmer was president of Federated Farmers from 2020 to 2023, one of the more prominent critics of the previous government's agricultural policies. The summary of a recent Fed Farmers confidence survey concluded confidence was no longer going backwards, but it's still in the gutter. Now, Andrew Hoggard is one of a group of ministers tasked with getting farmers back on side.
I think the main thing is, for farmers, focus on doing the stuff you know is right on farm. And that's not a new message, that's a message I was always given in Fed Farmers when people are going, oh, I've got all these rules here and this is telling us that and that's telling us that. And I always just say, look, what's smart and practical on your farm? Is it smart and practical to keep those animals out of that waterway? Yes, it is. Do it. It's, you know, just do the smart stuff and the stuff that makes sense. Get on with it. Do that. This is a government that's going to try and remove that regulatory burden, but it's not an excuse for everyone to think they can just button off and do nothing. You still, as a sector, we still need to keep moving the dial forward and looking for ways of how farming can be done more effectively, more efficiently, and more environmentally friendly. So keep looking for all of those ways, because that's what needs to happen. If you don't want the regulations, if you don't want the heavy-handed, over-the-top approaches, you've got to be taking those decisions on yourself, thinking about them, enacting them, doing it on your terms, and then you won't have to worry about Big Brother stomping down on you.
The ACT MP has been assigned the biosecurity, food safety and associate environment portfolios and is one of three associate agriculture ministers. It's a lot of hats for a brand new MP, which can perhaps excuse why one of the first significant announcements he made as a minister went wrong. Last month, with his associate environment hat on, Hoggard announced the government was suspending requirements for councils to comply with significant natural areas rules, telling councils it would be unwise to bother. Except the law hadn't changed, causing outcry from environmental groups and a legal headache. He walked it back and learned his lesson.
Well, obviously I was intending just to give helpful advice, but pushed it close to the line. I guess the point was, as we made earlier, we don't want councils wasting ratepayers' money if we're going to be changing things. And so, again, it was about pushing that deadline out, taking away the requirement for them to do it for that time, so that gives us a chance to... Now, our goal is to completely redo the RM system in the country in this term. So that's how I view Resource Management Act, or that sort of base legislation. It's sort of like the foundation everything's built on. And so we're going to be rebuilding the foundation. We don't want all of this work happening on the roof and the first story and the second story that may not fit on that foundation. It's like everyone just... calm down for a minute, let's get the foundation right and let's build up a common sense practical thing on top of that. So that is really about giving that time, and then within that we're going to do a longer term review of how we protect Indigenous biodiversity.
So far, much of Hoggard's work is reviews and windbacks. Last weekend, the government announced a review into New Zealand's 2050 methane targets, based around the principle of no additional warming from methane. The current target is to reduce methane by 24% to 47% by 2050. The Climate Change Commission has warned there is no evidence to support weakening the target. In fact, it should be strengthened. But Hoggard is sticking to his guns, saying efforts to cut emissions shouldn't come at the cost of a drop in agricultural production.
No, the science is settled. What you get is a different policy the policy is not settled. So, I mean, one of those modelled pathways in the IPCC report was actually that would achieve 1.5 degrees was having methane go up 2% globally. So you talk to any of the scientists on the straight science question around methane short life and how it and creates the changes in warming, they all say the same thing. It's they have some of them will have a different policy view. Some of them will view that actually if we reduce methane harder and faster and get agriculture to do more of the heavy lifting, we can achieve the 1.5 degrees target without needing to make as big a cuts in CO2. So that's not a science discussion, that's a policy fairness political discussion. So no one's really, the science, and there's always changes, and I can recall a report, I think it was last year, you know, there's new reports coming out around understanding more the methane, and that the impacts may not be as high. So there is some science that changes. But by and large, that warming impact, everyone's really on the same page. It's how they approach it from a policy sense.
How many of these reviews that you're undertaking are just going to throw up preordained results, things that you and other ministers have already signalled? You know, for example, we're going to review methane targets. It's just going to lead to a change in methane targets.
Well, I mean, the review will be based on science. And as I pointed out before, the targets we've got aren't based on science. They're based on a policy decision. And so what we're saying is, for that review, is we want a science. We want to know the science answer. What is the actual amount that it needs to reduce to for no additional warming?
The government's also scrapping the National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management, aiming to replace it within 2 years. The NPS set strict bottom lines for nitrogen, E. coli, phosphorus and sediment, and required councils to create new plans giving effect to Te Mana o Te Wai, prioritising the health of the water. Farmers argued it was too complex and too expensive to implement. The new government agreed and has sent it back to the drawing board. It's set alarm bells ringing for climate advocates, while even farmers aren't fully on board. Hoggard's friends at Fed Farmers and lobby group Groundswell felt the announcement didn't go far enough and that some councils were too far along with their plans. But, as illustrated with his significant natural areas lesson, Hoggard can't tell councils to stop.
The challenge we were facing was that every council had to have an updated plan based on the NPS 2020 and the NES rules by the end of 2024, which was a massive ask for all of them, and particularly given that we were going to be reviewing all this stuff, you know, we just don't want the situation these councils rush out with a plan to try and achieve a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to review and change, and then they've got to go back and change their plans again. So the whole point was give them time that we can, so they don't have to rush and do anything crazy. They can just hold where they are. We'll get our review done. Then they know where's the direction and we're not wasting ratepayers' money. Obviously, it's up to them as to whether they want to take that time or not. You know, as has been often quoted, the Muldoon Fitzgerald case, we can't give them direction unless we actually pass it through the House.
Yeah, because a lot of councils are quite far gone on developing their plans under the 2020 rules. I mean, you do have groups like, I think it was Groundswell, saying like, oh, you know, this consultation period gives councils time to carry on with what they were doing. Given that you can't tell them to stop, how are you going to sort of navigate them having to redo their plans without sort of that cost falling onto ratepayers?
I mean, my hope would be that they just, again, pause. That's my hope, not my direction. That they pause, you know, that the work they've done at this point won't be wasted. You know, it's consultation, it's working with communities, understanding all of these rules, getting the science and all of that in the background. I mean, I remember talking to regional councils when this came out in, I think, 2020, and they were really concerned about the absolute lack of time frame they're going to have to do these plans properly by 2024. So, I mean, the concern then was we are not going to be able to properly consult, we are not going to be able to properly do the research and get the understanding to actually have a solid, sensible plan by 2024. So now they've got a lot longer time, so they can actually, you know, do a bit more work on that science and on that consultation with the communities.
One longer-term piece of work is the reversal of the live export ban. The previous government wound the practice down after a review found it could damage New Zealand's reputation regarding animal welfare. It's not even been a year since the ban was implemented. ACT National committed to bringing live exports back in their coalition agreement, but not without promising to put in place a welfare gold standard first. It's fallen on Hoggard to find out what that looks like.
We still haven't worked out what the gold standard or the new standards will be, or the improved standards, if you want to call it that. We know that there was, over the last few years of that live export, there had been, each year they'd been on a path of continuous improvement, and you could see in terms of number of abrasions, number of injuries on the boat, that sort of stuff constantly dropping. In terms of evidence of why bring it back, $300 million to $500 million of economic value to the country. Now, we are in a bit of a hole financially, and, you know, this makes sense. It's a very valuable trade. If you look at some of the other trades we've got out there, this is more than, I think it was avocados, cherries, other things that we export. This is a reasonable trade, and, you know, we can do it well, and so I think we should be looking at, you know, have every opportunity we can get for earning money for this country, we should be taking it.
Hoggard says his goals in his portfolios are milestone and action based. In biosecurity, he wants to strengthen plans for dealing with foot and mouth disease before it reaches our shores and improve public awareness of marine pests.
We need all of these decisions around who covers what, who pays for what, who does what. That needs to be decided in peacetime. We don't want to be having these arguments while we're trying to stamp a disease out. We need all hands on deck, laser focused on achieving that.
But true to ACT form, his big focus is on addressing what he calls an avalanche of regulations, drawing from some of his own farming bugbears.
And by and large, across the farming side of things, for me, it is really about reducing a lot of the duplication and making sure that the paperwork makes sense and it's sensible to fill in and that it's actually delivering an outcome, that it's, you know, I can give plenty of examples of stuff I know I've filled in over the years that someone would have taken away, put on a shelf, and it's just gathered dust and probably never been taken off that shelf ever again. That's just stupid. You know, we need to have, when we're making farmers fill out paperwork, it's got to be for a reason, and we've got to be making sure we're using smart systems. And, you know, I'm so grateful now that around the, you know, recording all of the fertiliser applications on the farm, you know, I can enter the spread request into one thing which automatically transfers it to another, which transfers it then to Fonterra, and there's all proof of placement. And so by doing the job, I'm recording the job and I'm proving the job and I'm proving what I've done. So that sort of smart systems is what we need a hell of a lot more of, rather than where I was 3 years ago, where I'd have three different windows open on my computer screen and a pen and paper and a calculator, and I'd have to go and open one, write down the number, go and open the other, write down the number, open the other window, write down the number, add them up, go and put them back in another window, you know, that sort of system. Now it's just all automatic, so that's more of what we've got to get to. And so working on that stuff that, you know, takes away the pressure and the weight off farmers' shoulders and gets them enjoying their farming lives again.
Are you still approaching policy decisions with your, like, thinking as a farmer rather than a government minister?
Probably. I'm probably, you know, for me, I'm always looking for things I'm probably still looking more of what's the long-term solution here, what's the sensible thing that we should be doing long-term, as opposed to what can get me news lines next week and raise my profile. So I might not be a politician for long if I keep that up, but if I get stuff done, that'll make me happy. So, you know, I think that's what's important, is making sure we're thinking of the long-term for the benefits that'll be there for the country.
Andrew Hoggard has transitioned from lobbyist to legislator. While he's not anticipating a convoy of tractors driving up Queen Street to protest this government, he knows farmers' confidence remains low. He's hoping a suite of reversals and reviews can turn that around, but environmental groups will be watching his every move. Let's focus on politics. I'm Giles Dexter. Thanks for joining us. Matewa.